This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun on a Wednesday. It's hump day. You have done it. You have crested the peak of the week, and everything is downhill from here, and we are going to have an enormous show tonight. We will laugh. We may cry. We'll do voicemails, emails. Joe Biden's comments calling you garbage may or may not be a central theme. Hint, hint. That was foreshadowing. It will be a central theme, but I'm going to discuss it in a way that you probably haven't heard or seen yet. We'll discuss voter election integrity violations from Maine to Pennsylvania to Colorado to Florida. There appear to be shenanigans at work. Tim Walz is probably a Chinese spy. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin here. Obviously, I know I'm not dumb. You've already heard Joe Biden's comments 8,000 times today. You've seen it on the news. You've heard it on the radio. Joe Biden goes on CNN and verbally, once again, poops his pants.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Okay. We are going to get to the campaign implications of that, why it happened, what it might mean. In fact, we'll get to a lot of that here in just a minute, but there are a couple points I wanted to make on it first. There are certain conditions in life that you don't love, in fact, that you hate, that you wish you could change, but you can't change, so you end up accepting them. This happens in our personal lives. It happens with our families. It happens with your country. Personally, maybe you're listening to me right now and maybe you have some sort of disability. Maybe it's mental. That would be Democrats. No, I'm kidding. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe you have cancer and maybe they can't fix it. That's awful. I hate that for you, for everyone, for your family. But you get to a place, have sadly talked to enough of these people. You get to a place where you hate it. It's awful. You can't stand it. Jesse, my wife, I have cancer. But you get to a place where you accept the bad and learn to live in this new reality where you have cancer and you've just got to deal with it. Maybe your job sucks. Maybe you have a job that it's paying the bills. You have to have it. Family's not going to eat. The bills aren't going to get paid if you don't have it. You don't have options, but your boss sucks. Your job sucks. It's miserable. And for now, at least, you've simply accepted that every day, and if it sounds familiar, I've had jobs like this in my life, where every day when your eyes open up in the morning, you try the best you can not to, but eventually it washes over you that you have to go into work that day, and work sucks, and you just sit there and say, oh. And it's almost like you're in slow motion. At least for me it was when I would get out of bed. That was almost the hardest part. One foot on the ground, boom. Other foot on the ground, boom. All right, I'll go get in the shower and then get in my car and go do this again. You ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. Chris has been there. I'm sure Corey's been there. He seems like someone who works a lot of crappy jobs. You understand what I mean. And as a country, you are not in control of this nation. I am not in control of this nation. I am not a king. You're not a king. You're not a queen. And neither of us are God. I'm about 100% sure of that. I didn't control our history. You didn't control our history. I rarely win an election with the candidate I wanted to win. That's very rare for me. It almost never happens because I'm always highly invested in primaries. I want the bloodthirsty right winger, and he normally gets beaten. I'm not in control of all this. You're not in control of all this. So there are things going on. There are conditions as a country that we are going through right now that are awful, absolutely awful. But they're also, for you and for me, largely unchangeable. And that means we have to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. We have to accept it, deal with this new reality, and learn how to live with it as a country. And if you don't learn to live with it, if you don't accept it and learn how to deal with this new reality, it makes the new reality 10 times more miserable than it has to be. So there are two new realities we have. There are many, but we'll deal with two tonight. The second I'll get to in a little bit. The first I'm going to get to here. First, the new reality for you and me is we have domestic enemies. Many, many, many of them. Culturally, politically, whatever way you want to put it, you are at war with your countrymen. But now, please don't go shed any blood. Nothing like that. But that's awful. And it's unchangeable. Denying it won't help you. In fact, it'll hurt you. It's unchangeable. I'll come back to that in a moment. And the second condition we have that you can't do anything about, and I can't do anything about, the second thing we have, we'll get to this in a while, is every single election for president will be questioned by the side that loses from now until the end of time. We'll get back to that. We'll get to the election integrity stuff. That'll probably be in a while. Might even be next hour because I want to deal with the first thing first. Domestic enemies. Obviously, this has been in the news for the last 24 hours, but I kind of felt differently about it than a lot of people felt. Joe Biden goes on CNN, and actually I'll play the extended version now. Joe Biden goes on CNN and calls Donald Trump supporters garbage.
And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
I can't believe he said that. I can't. Jeez, that's so out of line. I bet you didn't feel that way. I bet you felt exactly like I felt. I saw that and I thought, well, yeah.
I know that's how they feel about me. They've been very honest about it. It's not like this was a one-off. It's not like it was a new thing. I had somebody say to me, I don't remember who it was on social media. Somebody say to me something along the lines of, dude, I've been called a Nazi and everything, a racist and everything else for the last 10 years. Calling me garbage sounds like they're pulling punches. I've been called much worse by the same people. It didn't blow me away. It didn't offend me even the slightest amount. Why? Because I have accepted something that is terrible, something I don't want, something I would change if I could, but I can't. I have accepted that I am politically and culturally at war with half of my country. They consider me to be garbage, a Nazi, a racist, the enemy, the ultimate enemy. And I'll be honest with you, just you and me talking, I feel the exact same way about them. I share a country with a bunch of filthy street communists who hate this place. They want to chop off kids' penises, bring rapists over the border as fast as possible, and collapse the dollar in an effort to destroy this country I love. And if you feel that way, American citizen or not, you are my enemy. I have domestic enemies. You have domestic enemies. The difference, maybe, between you and them is they have accepted it and now they act like it. And let me be clear about this, because I'm going to talk about what this means and how bad that is. It's a terrible place to be as a country. But let me explain this. Maybe you're still denying that. Or maybe you're even saying something along, no, Jesse, I won't accept that. No, Jesse, but we can heal. No, Jesse. But there are a bunch of war quotes from general here and general there about this. I'm just going to give you the Jesse version of it, but I'm not the originator of this way of thinking. Being at war doesn't take two to tango. When one side decides you're at war, then you're at war. The second side doesn't get any vote in the matter. When one side has declared war, then you are at war. I'm sorry. I know that's not where you want to be. It's not where I want to be. And let's discuss before we'll get into the campaign stuff and we'll make fun of Joe Biden and all those things, but let's sit down and discuss what that means as a country, what that means for the country. It's bad. It is bad, but let's digest that tonight. Before we digest that, let's talk about something wonderful, something good. Homeless veterans, it's just one of those things that breaks your heart. You see the guy on the sidewalk, all homelessness breaks your heart, right? Somebody normally struggling with mental issues, drug issues, alcohol issues, and they choose to live their life on the streets and the cold, and it's just really bad. But when you drive by that guy and he's wearing his U.S. Army jacket, it hurts more. It does. Tunnel to Towers is getting homeless veterans off the streets, scooping up these men and women who, for a variety of reasons, end up on the streets, and gives them a place to stay. On top of paying off mortgages for Gold Star families and fallen first responder families, they're helping the homeless veterans get off that sidewalk. A hot meal, a warm bed. Your $11 a month goes to that. Go to t2t.org and give. They ask for $11 a month. t2t.org. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Love me some REO Speedwagon. Good call, Chris. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. And actually, along those lines, Friday, you know how we do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday? It's a couple days away. I don't know if you know that. It's 2 days after Wednesday. Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to do something I believe we've only ever done one time before, Chris. One time before we did it. If I remember right, it did not go well. So I don't know why we're doing it again, but we just felt the need to give it another trial run Friday. Set your clocks now. We will be taking Ask Dr. Jesse questions, not only by email. We will open up the phone lines, which I don't think we've done in 2 months, and we will take them live. Is it longer than 2 months, Chris? 3 or 4 months? Okay, so it's been months since we've even taken a call. We're going to take Ask Dr. Jesse questions live this Friday. Will I cut it off after 2 questions out of frustration? Maybe. But we're going to give it a shot, all right? All right, back to what we were talking about. We will get to the political implications and why Joe Biden said that and other things. But right now, we took a step back, and on a 30,000-foot level, we're looking at what this means for a country. Well, what it means is we very likely are not going to be able to heal. You see, when a country divides against itself, and I know this is heavy, I realize that, but we're just having a discussion here. Historically, it's not like I'm just being some kind of doomer here. Historically, political fights have always happened. Fractions in populations, that this is nothing new, it's always happened. But when you get to a place where a nation is divided virtually in half, and one side has a visceral hatred of the other side and has declared a cultural and political war on them, historically, that country doesn't generally come back together in any kind of a significant way. Even horrible tragedy, even horrible loss doesn't fix that. What's a good example? Let's personalize it. Have you ever seen a horrible marriage? A terrible marriage, and then this scenario, I've seen this before. Everyone's seen a terrible marriage, maybe you're in one. Everyone's seen one or experienced one, but then this happens. It's a terrible marriage, and then one of them gets sick, maybe. Gets in a car wreck, loses a leg. Something terrible happens to one of them. From the outside looking in, people generally think, whoa, things are bad now. I know they used to hate each other and gossip about each other and they fought all the time and the cops have been to their house 10 times because they're throwing things at each other. But now that she got in that car wreck and lost her leg, I can really see them coming back together. It doesn't ever work like that, does it? In general, it doesn't. Something terrible happens and it only increases the divide. Here in a country, historically, and here today, when half the country hates the other half of the country to the point where they describe them with names that are used in war propaganda, that almost never, ever works out in the end. And I hate that for my country because I love this place and I want it to be fixed. And I know people think I'm some kind of bomb-throwing barbarian. If I could have peace and unity here in a country full of patriots who loved it, I would give up. Honestly, I would give up my life for that. That's how much that means to me. But it's not possible. It's not something I can do. It's not something you can do because war has been declared. And it's not a one-off either. It's everywhere.
You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
You said over the weekend, referring to it, there's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden. Well, look, you were comparing that rally to a Nazi rally?
Look, I'm comparing it to the hate that came out of this, and I think they confirmed that.
You stand by that comparison, though, to a Nazi rally?
Look, the rally, you saw it for yourself. I'll let the American...
Hard to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Because now, no matter what, in good times, in bad times, political times, once one side says Nazi, 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 Nazi without end, that's dehumanizing war propaganda language. And that war propaganda language is actually designed to help the population steel itself to hurt the other side. That's why every time there's ever been a war, whether it was recent wars, ancient wars, racist, culturally degrading names are always used for the other side. The Japanese did it to the Chinese. The Chinese did it to the Japanese. We did it to everybody. Everyone does it to everyone. The Germans were all krauts. The Japanese were all Japs or Nips or whatever other derogatory, horrible word they could come up. Why? Because you're trying to dehumanize that person to give your conscience the permission to hurt that person. Make them not a person. Make them lower. And when citizens, when a nation gets to a place where the citizens are doing it to each other, we're in a very bad place. And I hate it, but that's where we are. Now let's move off that and let's discuss the political implications of all that and why it's so bad right now. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I forgot to tell you, next hour, about halfway through the next hour, fan favorite World News with PK is going to join us. I'm going to ask him if he's being held hostage or someone he loves is. Are you sending SEAL Team 6 or the Delta Force boys? Ooh, I'm interested. I bet you BK will answer. I bet you he'll answer. I won't forget, Chris. I won't forget. You'll forget. All right. Back to what we were talking about. Now, that's enough of the nationwide implications of where we are, the domestic enemies and all that. Nothing we can do about that now. Now, let's get on to the lighter, much more enjoyable portion of this about Joe Biden and his comments last night. So I've told you before that I believe Joe Biden is intentionally sabotaging the Harris campaign, but that's a theory. Whether or not I believe that, I don't think that's what happened here. Here is the Harris-Biden relationship in a nutshell. This is what you should know about the backstory of it before we get to what happened here and why this is only going to make things so much worse. First, you already understand why Joe Biden, why the Biden camp and the Harris camp hate each other. It goes back to that it goes back to the presidential debate when the Democrats were trying to choose their nominee back in 2020, and Harris began to free fall in the polls. Remember, Kamala Harris, this is an interesting portion of this. She is Barack Obama's girl. Harris was pushed by the Obamas. Obama was actually the first one to really bring her into the limelight on the world stage, on the national stage. Then the Obamas pushed Kamala Harris. They were pushing Harris. They pushed her to get in this primary. The media and a bunch of money got behind Kamala Harris. We all laugh about her now, but when she first jumped into that primary, they were doing these glowing reports. The media was going shopping with her, and then she began to free fall in the polls. She just, for an obvious reason, she's awful. Everyone hates her. She has no personality. Even Democrats would like some sort of a personality, some sort of charisma in their candidate. So even with Obama, even with all that money behind her, she got a little initial bump when she got in, and then it wasn't a drop. It was a free fall. So she gets into this debate against Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who looks like he's now about to be the nominee. Only Harris, reading the room, is clearly not her specialty. Instead of using this moment to maybe extend a hand, realizing her campaign might be over, well, filthy DEI commies don't think like that. Instead, she goes all in.
I also believe, and it's personal, and I was actually it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
Now, let's just dwell on this for a moment. Remember how important race politics is for Democrats, especially black votes. It's not a little thing. The black vote oftentimes will decide Democrat primaries. Nationally, it's 13% of the electorate and things like that. But in a Democrat primary, you're not winning South Carolina as a Democrat without the black vote. Kamala Harris, at this moment in that campaign, people forget this, she was already done. She was cooked. It was over. Had no chance. And she used her last little bit of time on the campaign trail to kneecap Joe Biden with voters he needed. Now, let's set Joe aside because we'll come back to him in a moment. Jill Biden. How horrible and ambitious and ruthless is this woman? Well, Joe Biden's not a functional adult anymore. Everyone knows that. Everyone who's seen, you don't even have to hear him talk. Everyone who's seen him walk knows that Joe Biden is on the back nine. Joe Biden can see the clubhouse. Everyone knows it. Everyone does. Jill Biden is so ruthless, so ambitious, so obsessed with power. She was going to have him run again and pretend to be president for another 4 years. It was all Jill. That's the kind of woman Jill is. Now, go ahead. This was Jill Biden. After Joe Biden gave the most disastrous debate performance in the history of the United States of America, there's not even a close second place, he ran to the stage and Jill Biden dragged that cadaver up there and said this to him.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
What a witch. What a big boy! I'm so proud of you, Joe! Extra ice cream for you tonight! That's friggin' evil, man. That's evil. So that's the kind of woman Jill is. Now picture that woman. Take that woman back to the debate. What's going through Jill Biden's mind while Kamala Harris sits up there and calls Joe Biden the Grand Dragon or the Grand Wizard? Chris, who's the head of the KKK? All right, you're probably not that familiar either. Corey, are you a member or anything? Nothing like that? Grand something. I don't know. Whoever the head of those guys is, Kamala Harris practically called him that in front of Jill Biden. From that moment on, we know this now from sources, Jill Biden hated Kamala Harris. And Jill Biden is the main power behind the Biden camp now because Joe Biden is not a functional adult. All right, now let's move forward here. Moving forward, Joe Biden gets the nomination. Joe Biden, he again, his mouth, we'll get to Joe Biden's mouth. Obviously, it's a central theme. Joe Biden's mouth walks him into trouble. Joe Biden, look, all Democrats pander, really all politicians pander, most of them do. Trump actually doesn't pander that much, to be honest with you, but most politicians pander, and Democrats do it over the top. Joe Biden will stand in front of a room of black voters and tell them that Republicans want to put him in chains. They just will. How many times have we made fun of Dome's brand new accents and brand new ways of talking?
Can I get a witness?
They pander. Joe Biden was busy pandering to the various groups of the Democrat Party, and he got up and he said, all right, I'm the nominee. I'm going to choose a woman. It'll definitely be a woman as my VP, and a black one. It'll be a minority. Immediately, Joe Biden publicly announces he's going to make a DEI hire as his selection for VP. Well, at the time, that was not the smart move electorally. At the time, the smart move would have been Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan because Michigan's such a critically important swing state and that hideous woman is somehow still fairly popular in that place. That was the smart political move, but Joe Biden opens up his fat mouth and says, I'm going to pick a woman and I'm going to pick a black woman. Well, at the time, there were only two you could even consider. It was Kamala Harris or Stacey Abrams of Georgia. They were the only choices. And now back to what we were discussing before. Who's backing Kamala Harris? Barack Obama and all that money Barack Obama controls. You think the phones didn't ring? Hey, Joe, congratulations. We picked your VP for you. Welcome Kamala Harris with open arms. And they did. But wait, the tension from there, we've never discussed this before, actually got worse. Things happened from there. You want to hear how? Why? Talk about that in a moment before we talk about that. Let's talk about talk. Peer talk. Let's talk about the cell phone company that gets veterans back on their feet. You can tell everything about who leads a corporation today by their charitable giving. Go look it up. Whoever your cell phone provider is, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, whoever it is, go look them up and look up their, quote, charity giving. They give to the most disgusting causes you can possibly find. Go look up your cell phone provider and Black Lives Matter and tell me what you see. Pure Talk is led by a Vietnam veteran. They love America so much. When you get a hold of people at Pure Talk, well, here's an email right here. Jesse, I just switched my uncle over from AT&T to Pure Talk. I saved him $55 a month, and the customer service rep was so nice. He was even from my hometown, and we had a good chat. Easiest switch. I would definitely recommend. Dial #250 on your phone and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Tonight's the night. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, an amazing Wednesday. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, go download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Don't forget to subscribe and then leave a review discussing how handsome I am in detail. And don't say anything about my hands either. I'm tired of these reviews mentioning my hands. These hands are enormous. And if you want to email the show, you can. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to the history of the Biden-Harris stuff. All right, so we went over the debate, the history, why he had to select Kamala Harris and all that. But something happened. Joe Biden has to bring in Harris. The Obamas wanted her. Joe Biden promised to be a black woman. He brings in Harris. But the Biden administration, presidential administrations are insane things. They have these huge staffs, and there's two different parts kind of to a presidential administration. There's the president's staff, and then there's the campaign staff, the reelection staff, and those lines get blurred. But what you should know is they track public opinion polls every day with the obsession. The most rabid sports fan in your life who tracks his team's wide receivers or who's playing catcher this year, that's the obsession these political people in presidential campaigns, that's how obsessed they are with public opinion polls. Hey, Joe, we saw you ate a pizza yesterday with pepperoni. Your poll numbers only went up a point, but last time you had one with olives and they went up 2 points. They go into that level of detail. The Biden administration quickly discovered that Kamala Harris is not only unpopular, she is so unlikable, she is so unpopular, that she drags down Joe Biden's popularity. What did they do? How did they handle it? They handled it in the two pettiest, most hilarious ways humanly possible. The first thing they did was, you do remember this, they gave her the border. Remember when they made her the border czar? People forget the timing of this. Timing is everything. When did Joe Biden make Kamala Harris the border czar? He made her the border czar the millisecond what Democrats were doing on the border was discovered and people started getting angry about it. The second people started getting mad about the border, wait, you're letting them all in? Wait, there are criminals? Oh my gosh, this girl got raped. Someone just got murdered. The second public anger started to rise about the border, Joe Biden publicly says, hey, Dome, here's the border. You're in charge. Best of luck. And he knew that there was nothing she could do about it. It's what the system wants. The system demands the border be open. Frankly, Joe Biden doesn't possess the authority to close it. He does as president, but the system would never give him permission. So his vice president most definitely doesn't have permission to close it. He just dropped a hot potato right in her lap and said, best of luck. So that's the first thing he did. And the second thing he did was this. Harris is an ambitious human being. You and I have had this talk before. You probably have worked with someone like this before. Maybe you are this person. I hope you're not, but it's one thing to be ambitious. I'm ambitious. I'm extremely ambitious. I am driven hugely by winning. I was going to say success, but it's actually not a money thing. I'm obsessed with winning. With I don't know why. It's probably my childhood. I'm obsessed with it. I hate to lose. I'm obsessed with winning. That's fine. That kind of ambition is fine. But there are these nakedly ambitious people who believe getting ahead is the highest calling and they will screw over anyone they possibly can if they think it means helping them get ahead. They're horrible people. You probably have worked with one, and I have bad news for you kids. If you haven't yet, you will. They are like a cancer on any company. They'll screw over their boss, their friends, the people underneath them. They're just horrible people. That's who Kamala Harris is. Her whole history points to that. So she wanted to use the vice presidency, the office of the vice presidency, not to serve in any way. Those thoughts are what you have or what I have. Those thoughts never enter these people's minds. She wanted to use the office of the vice presidency as a springboard for bigger things, to be president. She wanted to build her brand. Look at me. I'm Dome. I'm the best. I'm the best. Look at me. Look at me. Only the Biden administration knew any close association with her brought down their numbers. So they kept her away. They would have big events with a bunch of cameras there. Some world leader is visiting. You know, Netanyahu, Chris. See, Netanyahu, what, Chris? I thought maybe, anyway, Netanyahu visits from Israel. You know, the British PM, some big foreign leader visits. You're going to have extra reporters, extra cameras, extra things there. The Biden administration, as much as possible, kept her away. In fact, this ended up burning them on Afghanistan. You know the reason Kamala Harris was pictured in that Situation Room? Everyone's seen that picture. And you know the reason Joe Biden said Kamala Harris was the last one in the room, acting like she was there making decisions? The reason was the Harris people had raised such a stink, they were freaking out about being frozen out of everything. So they finally got included, and it was the thing that went poorly. The Bidens tried to keep her away. And then the coup happened. And I know you remember this. The system was already leery of Joe Biden. I told you 2 years ago they were going to kick him out. Everyone told me I was crazy. They did the best they could to cover it up for as long as they could. But his poll numbers already in free fall. The bottom simply dropped out of them when Joe Biden got on that stage to debate Donald Trump. And he couldn't complete a thought or a sentence. Then, well, the emperor had no clothes on in front of everybody. Everyone could see how bad it was, and Joe Biden had to go. Well, there you are, nakedly ambitious, feeling slighted Kamala Harris, and you get the sense the system's trying to push Joe out. Do you help him, or do you help them shove? Harris helped them shove. And that brings us to where we are today. Let's talk about us being garbage. Before we do that, let's talk about chalk. Chalktober, which, hold on, let me check my calendar. Yep, I'm looking at 2 days left in the month, if you count today. Frankly, there's one day because we're at the end of the day today. It's Chalktober. You know about the natural herbal supplements at Chalk. You've heard me read testimonial after testimonial, how they're anti-communists, how your life will be better, your energy, your focus, your T levels with natural herbal supplements. You also know that you can save money and get a freebie in Chalktober. Go get a subscription before Chalktober comes to an end. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Or call them, text them. I don't care. They'll answer your questions. You're not treated like a piece of meat. 50-CHOQ-3000. Let's talk about us being garbage. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.